I got a phone call from NPR the other day, asking me, as you might guess, to give just a few more dollars on my pledge for the months to come. I looked at the phone and actually thought it was one of you, otherwise I probably wouldn't have picked up. A few more I could do, I said, but we are expecting our second child, so I can't do much more than that. The joy that came from the other end of the phone. It was as if my best friend, a sibling, or my own mother heard the news for the very first time. "Oh my, congratulations," she said. "And you already have a little one. What is that one? Do you know what you're having?" I couldn't help but smile. Her joy was contagious. And in truth, we had just found out the sex of the baby hours before, a secret I hadn't said out loud to anyone yet. I wondered if she could keep it. "We have a 2-year-old boy," I said, to which the woman replied, "Well, this one is a girl. I am sure of it. I have a feeling." And then she continued, "Your husband, of course, must want another little boy, but I've got a feeling. Of course, no matter what, I'm sure he'll be excited. Is your husband excited?" she asked. At this stage in the conversation, I can assure you, I too had a feeling. And it was not about the sex of the baby, not about paint color or clothing or names, but all the decisions that needed to be made in the next millisecond. Yeah, we're excited. Just wanting a healthy baby. We're all really excited. Borrowing liberally from a UUA curriculum, I want to invite you into an exercise for a moment. We'll do this silently, but I'd actually encourage you to really try this at home with friends or family. And let me just say up front that this is for the folks who identify as straight. My LGBTQ family, I invite you into a different meditation, one of breathing and of recognition for the constant work, one of affirmation of you entirely, completely. First, yes, each of us breathe. Let go of what you know. Put aside the elementary invitation of this theme. We've each got closets, you may say. Not a dismissal or negation of your own interpretation or assumptions, your own challenges in community. I ask that you call to mind at least 2 people who are intimately important to you. Your spouse, your children, whomever. Now think of at least 2 places that have meaning for you. Your home, your family's place of origin, a favorite vacation spot, maybe. And now just think of 2 or 3 significant life events. The birth of a child, a new job, a move to a new community. Along the way, you find yourself coming into this community for the first time, or maybe running into someone at the grocery store. You're sitting next to a stranger while getting your nails done, or you found yourself stuck next to that chatty person on the airplane. "Hello," they say. "What's your story?" they ask. And you lean into the introduction. You smile. You say your name. But what else? What else are you? Before you speak, you feel your body pulling back because there are rules. You cannot mention anything or anyone that you've just listed in your head. None of those sacred people, places, or events. Because any one of those will give away a secret about you that you are not allowed to tell. I wouldn't share the story of my last name, my fondness for the Midwest, my child who I didn't carry. For others, it might be the dresses you wore in childhood, the masculinity of adulthood revealed. Whole swaths of life, sacred relationships absent, entire parts silenced, invisible, an impossibility of authenticity and a promise of isolation. Perhaps it seems little compared to the ways in which other marginalized groups face oppression today. Perhaps it seems small compared to the generations of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender work that was not very long ago. Perhaps it seems transient, voluntary. It's a telemarketer. Tell her or don't. It's just that it's also being asked if your child gets her hair from her daddy while both moms are ready with cameras to mark the first haircut. It's the game nights split among the men and women, and the moment, each and every time, when the room wonders where one of us should go. Who is the man? Who is the woman? What is a man? What is a woman? It's the grocer who asks Tara and me what our relationship is, some closeness that isn't quickly categorized, and then the quick look we exchange that asks, are you going to say something or me? Do either of us have to again? And then the reminder that soon we will have to teach Tobias a confident correction, teach him about his own closet, and a desperate hope that he won't be afraid or resentful to knock it down. It's the men who tell my wife what they think about my body, as if there is some allowance there, some camaraderie there. It's finding images of your family in a specialized section of the bookstore, all three yesterday. It's how we set up our interactions with our children, still in womb, based on that blue or pink discovery, big boy, gentle lady, rough house, delicate flower. It's the need to practice the reaching out for the affection of partnership in private, because the constant pulling back in public creates habits of friendship rather than intimacy, creates habits of independence rather than the promise of longevity within your marriage. It's only how I cried with relief when I saw my name on the birth certificate. No father line to cross out, finally, just my name, Parent B. But now the thousands of dollars, the lawyer's fees, because that certificate actually means nothing, we are told. And so I hope, after time and tears and money, that soon I will legally be his step-parent. Heaven forbid something happened to Tara. Heaven forbid law no longer legitimizes our relationships. It's just that small goal. It's just that step-parent is the goal. It's the spectrum of gratitude, how too many of us are thankful, accepting, allowing of the small cuts over and over and over again from family and loved ones who didn't disown us, the low bar of gratitude. It's just that it's also the endless debate of whether or not to interrupt the friend, the loved one, the teacher, that my toddler does not have a girlfriend, may never wish to have a girlfriend, may never be a boy's boy. What is a boy? And for as long as I don't interrupt, for as long as I prioritize my own insecurities and want to avoid the awkward exchange with every suggestion of sexualization, of gender expression, of assumption, of orientation, this small and perfect being is handed one more strip, one more piece of the closet for him to hold, his very own, building up around him every single day. Just like it did for each of us. Something to potentially correct. Something to wonder about why he doesn't fit. Something that doesn't feel right, normal, expected, accepted. Perhaps it's little. Perhaps it is transitory and voluntary. Coming out is also constant, repetitive, soul-exhausting risk. As a friend of mine said, the closet allows, if not encourages, a surveillance of our lives and a fragmentation of our bodies from ourselves. Even today, in an era, yes, of deep, expansive privilege, but also therefore dismissed small cuts, we still want for a world in which one type of body or expression is not the assumed, the thing by which all other bodies and expressions must be legitimized. Preparing for this morning, I pictured what it would be like to sit with any one of the children of this congregation, some of whom are on the edge of some new identity, some realization that is hard to speak. And their parents, wanting their babies to know that their love, however hard to name in the limitedness of words and language, in the risk of not saying it right or well or often enough, knowing that what they say may be scoffed off for parental awe, I imagined them coming to me, the first gay minister in the 100-year history of our congregation, looking to me to bridge some long distance from fear to functionality. What could I say, I thought, if our children, if their parents needed me? Perhaps only that coming out, this coming out, is specific. And it is constant. And it's constant work that is rarely public or put on a pillar. But on really good days, it can be constant holy work. I know closets come in all shapes and sizes. The anxiety of explaining Unitarian Universalism at your Thanksgiving table of Jewish and Christian family and friends. The bravery it still takes to claim Jesus while reaching for a cookie downstairs in the crossings room. The choiceful, childless, married couple who actually doesn't need the infertility doctor's name. The Republican in Lambertville. I'm certain we've each got a story in which we've had to choose whether or not to say more, to be seen, to risk a judgment. But the truth is, there have not been plagues of teenage suicides due to one's political orientation, no landscape of therapies justified by centuries of authority and texts created to pray away some failed, broken, or harmful portion of oneself, no need to light a candle every week to make sure people, bodies, families can be sure that they are safe in a sanctuary. This coming out is specific. And it's also pretty amazing. When I think about how many of us go through life allowing fear and expectation to drive our entire trajectory, a middle-aged man I know who is married to a woman came out as bisexual to his dying mother. Why would he do that, someone close to me said. Why would he do that to her? I can't help but feel filled up by this story, by that man's want for his mother, regardless of her response, no knowledge of how long he'd have to repair if needed. He wanted her to know that he had found himself, was honest about all the things that made him her son. I imagine that I know that. For the parents in this space who have children of whatever age who identify somewhere on that spectrum, you want a clear message, a clear word of hope today. That someday you won't have to fear for the physical or emotional safety of that amazing, beautiful person that is yours. But today, I'm outside of hope. I offer you a word of strength. That your child has been honest with you. That you have raised or are raising a person who can claim themselves despite what the world shouts. Who speaks what others say is unspeakable, regardless of how you have responded before today. That we each have people in our lives who have shown the world a type of courage that far too many of us will never experience, the owning of one's personhood in all of its expressions. Take solace in that. Take pride in that. And then decide how you will nurture that. Because we are all nurturing something. A few more points. A friend reminded me the other day how simply seeing other people who aren't straight, who don't present within the expected gender norms, how just having her life mirrored by others was invaluable. Whether it's people, quote, with whom she has relationships or just people walking down the street, she said, it's incredibly important that I felt the distinct difference in my life when I have had it or not. Choosing to be visible in all the ways we do is about more than just the, albeit critically important, self-justice of honest disclosure. It's also about adding specific presence to the universe others may need. We are all nurturing something, someone, even when you don't know it. Simply, perhaps, by your everyday life-living courage. And here's the last piece. If you are someone who identifies somewhere in that messy exchange of letters and identities, or someone who sees those letters and identities as boxes too constricting for you, I simply offer you the reminder that wherever you are on your journey, you are good, whole, and holy. We will seek to see you, affirm you, not question your twists and turns along this life of knowing yourself. We will not question your choosing to be in or out or make that decision for you. We will remind you that you are beyond worthy of this life, courageous beyond measure simply for being, and declare you as a gift for the world to know, hear, and see. To the constant, repetitive work that is sacred too, may all that we must interrupt be placed down, so that if only in this hour, we can simply be. And in so doing, may all that is blessed be.